Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of The Other Side of 40. I am excited today. I am doing something a little different. I'm actually hosting with two co-hosts of their own podcasts. Rumel Anderson and Twanda Baker are longtime friends who have been married to their respective husbands for over 20 years, have teenage and young adult kids, careers, and so many questions about everything. When they realized their often used phrase, "Girl, can I ask you something?" it sparked hours of fun conversations. They decided to share these discussions with others in the form of a laughter-rich podcast. In each episode, the "Girl, Can I Ask You Something?" podcast showcases sisterhood, celebrates accomplishments, shares challenges, and encourages their dreams. So I'm excited to have them here. So we're going to start with actually letting you know where you can find them.
Hey there, everybody. This is Rumel with the Girl, Can I Ask You Something podcast. We hope that you will come and join us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere else that you love to listen to your podcast. You can find us at
That's
girlpodcast.com.
girl with three R's.
That's three R's. Yes. Girlpodcast.com. So come and join us. And we're looking forward to our conversation today with April.
Yes. All right. So let's get started. So my signature question is, what was your awakening moment? Who would like to take that first?
Can I first just say thank you so much for having us on your show? This
Of
is really
course.
cool.
I'm very excited. I've never done specifically podcast host, and I've never done two people, so I'm excited to be here.
Ooh. It will be
And
easy. We'll be easy.
oh, you guys are great. So just to let you know, I was on their podcast, and so check out their episodes. And I believe it has published already by the
Is.
time you hear this one. So just look it up. I'll make sure to link in the comments, link in the show notes where to find their podcast. So, but I'm excited to have you here.
Thanks.
Yeah, we
So
do.
on
I'll start a
that,
little bit with the answer, and Ramel, you just jump in as know
we
I'm going
go
to jump
along.
in. You know I'm
The
going to jump
aha moment, I know it's telling Ramel's story. I was going to talk to you about the aha moment in starting a podcast
in. You
or
can do that.
starting this podcast. And I would have to say, for me, the reason why I said yes to Ramel's request to do this podcast is I was looking for something in my life. I needed something else. I needed something more. I needed something to challenge me. Lord, this definitely did the challenging, but I needed to be able to promote something and to bring content to the world. I just wanted to do something else creative. And I didn't have any good ideas of my own. So when Mel decided, she decided, hey, I think we should do a podcast. I couldn't say no. It just felt like the thing that I needed in my life to help me. I don't know, I'm still trying to get my groove back in life. I hit that over 40 and I said, what am I doing? Where am I going? And so that was a part that helped me get over that hump. Now, Ramel, I'm gonna throw the ball back to you. Let you
Okay.
answer.
Well, I think my biggest awakening moment was that time, and we've spoken about this, Tawanda, but sometime this time that someone asked me, like, well, Ramel, what do you like to do? What makes you happy? Like, what do you want to do? I mean, it was a general question. They weren't trying to get all therapeutic on me or anything like that. They just wanted to generally know what made me tick. And I was like, well, I like to take my kids to soccer, and
What else
I
you
love going to work every day.
That's not even true.
And
That's not
yeah,
even close.
exactly. That's not even true, right? Exactly. So I had all these things that I did, but they didn't define who I was. And it's a slow slope from where you go from where you think you know who you are to where you just have zero clue. And it was for me, and it was surprising. It was surprising, like when someone to ask you a simple, just general question, like, what do you like to do? What makes you happy? And you go, I don't know. I have no idea. And so it started like this journey. And actually, Tawanda doesn't know how much of this journey she really what has been. Well, she knows some of it, but
Okay, fill me in.
okay. So, I mean, we, Tawanda and I met each other kind of randomly, and I guess it was just meant for us to meet, but we met in a restaurant that I was working in, and our friendship really kind of sparked out of nowhere. Okay. And there's a longer story to that, and I'll spare you. But her friendship really allowed me someone who really listened to what I, you know, listened to me as a friend, opposed to my kids' friends, parents. You know what I mean? It's a
Oh,
different
yeah.
kind of relationship. And so she was mine. She was my friend.
Is all yours.
She
So,
was
how long
my
have you
friend
two been friends?
for 15 years
It's like,
now.
how old is Imani? How old is your youngest kid? Because she was pregnant.
I was pregnant with my youngest, who is 14. So it's almost 15 years that we've been friends. And we were quick friends. I mean, it
Yeah,
wasn't.
I walked into the store and she just randomly said something like, "So, y'all have any New Year's resolutions?" Because I came with a group of coworkers, and I said, "Yeah, I want to have this year. I'm going to have more friends. I'm going to get friends this year." And she said, "Me too." And then so we decided. Then that meant we needed to be friends.
Yeah, like
I don't
instant.
see any reason why not. I
Yeah.
mean, you both wanted friends and you met each other, so that makes sense.
It does make sense and it doesn't make sense. I mean, like the next time we went, did anything, we like stayed at a hotel with some other
Okay,
friends.
I
No,
know that
that
sounds
sounds weird.
so
I know that sounds
crazy. How
weird.
dare
Don't,
you?
it's
Where are
not
we going?
weird.
We made a
It's
left
not
turn.
weird. It was
We
just
had a girls' night out,
girls'
like
night out.
a girls'
Okay.
retreat, my
Yeah,
away
we're.
run away from home weekend, and
I'm
I
sorry, that
invited
went
my
left,
brand new
Wanda. That
friend
went.
who
I'm sorry, it's my fault. It went left. I'm sorry. That's my fault. But anyway, we had a girls' night out. It was nothing kind of, you know, nothing to the left. It was just all fun. And we just realized that we had so many things in common. And so our friendship took off very quickly. And we've been friends ever since. But what I think the pivot point where Tawanda and I kind of really have this joy awakening, if you will, is with the podcast, because we thought we knew each other, but then we did the podcast and you get the chance to know each other on a whole different level, working on a joint project where you release things every week. You have to really trust each other.
Yeah, that's a bit. It's a lot of work, but the fun part about it, because I could talk to you about the work part, and you know how podcasting every week is demanding.
It is, and it's just me. I don't have a partner. I've let people know that my son helps me, but he's also a teenager and he's also in school and he's also in a very demanding program. So we actually took a little break. When we're recording this is during my break because I wasn't planning on doing seasons, but I just needed to fit a season in there because I needed a break. He needed a
My
break.
goodness.
I understand that. We hit that point as well. I'll let you know that I can't wait. You're gonna have to have us back on your show in about a year or so we can come tell our success story. 'Cause I feel like this year we're particularly on a journey. I am personally on a journey to feel really proud of myself at the end of this year, which that has meaning for me personally because I'm coming up with goals that make me proud of me this year. And the podcast is one of those things where I wanted to where I want to grow. But yeah, I feel like there's a point in my life where I hit an age where I said, I've got to pay attention to what makes me happy. I have gone so much time in my life where I thought happiness was when the whole family was happy or when the husband was happy and I forgot about myself. And so this is part of my process. Ramel, thank you for inviting me to be in a podcast. I would not have done it on my own. So I applaud you, April, for doing it on your own. I know how much work this is, but I will also say it contributes to me feeling, like I've accomplished. I'm doing something. So thank you, Ramel. I appreciate that.
Always, girl. Always, girl.
I love the support. I love the love. So tell me, because you mentioned that it's a slow decline into losing yourself. Mm-hmm. And what was that like for you, Ramel? Like, what did that feel like? How did that, were there anything before someone asked you that question mm-hmm. about what do you like to do? Was there something that you could tell was leaving you for who you were?
Oh, sure. I mean, I have 3 kids and I have a husband, which has been established, but he works a lot and you just get to a point where the kids, their needs increase, your husband's needs, maybe his needs in themselves didn't increase, but because he wasn't necessarily around at certain times. So you have to step up for the fact that they're not specifically where is helpful, if that makes sense. So you specifically don't maybe comb your hair every day. Okay. You know, I mean, those are like hair things that, power. Yeah, I mean, like, let's like really, yeah. Sometimes you're just like, you're just dusting off the good hot spots, as they say.
Yeah.
And trying to make it move, you know, I mean, and so you're constantly one by one by one, putting somebody else's needs in front of yours. And don't get me wrong, my kids' needs were important and I'm happy that I made those things, but I wish I had recognized at some point beforehand that their needs are important, but you have to have some time for yourself. And if that means you need to have a conversation with your husband so that you can carve that time out for yourself, then that's what you need to do. And I didn't do that. And so I found that there were times where I was very lonely. I found that there were times that I was depressed. Mm-hmm. I found that there were times that I felt not understood. There was just, you know, there's a lot of like negativity that kind of creeps in and you don't know where it comes from because you live this great life, right? You have the kids, you have a minivan. Oh my God. I thought I had made it when I had a minivan, right? You know,
that statement alone says mom, 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 mom.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like,
I got to convince my husband to get a minivan. He was like, no, no. And no, no.
My husband still wants another minivan. I was like, hell no, I am not getting another minivan. The kids are 21, 18, and 14. I am not getting another minivan. Sorry. You can drive one, but I'm not. I'm out. You know, I'm not doing the minivan anymore. But, you know, you shape your life around everybody else. And at some point, if you aren't very intentional about shaping yourself into that same ball, you get left out. And it's honestly nobody else's fault but your own. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part that you have to come to, is that you allowed this to happen, but mm-hmm. now you have to get yourself back into the game. But if I can say this, the interesting part is when you do that, your family isn't used to you doing that. And so it can cause an interruption.
That is so funny, because Ramel, everything you're saying is exactly what how this podcast came to be and what I talk about all the time, because all of those things, mm-hmm. same here, everything was at least, you know, what you expect happiness is to look like, right? Mm-hmm. You have the family, you have the husband, you have the house, you have the car. We didn't get the SUV. I mean, we got an SUV, but no minivan. I wanted a minivan because I just thought they were easier to...
They were easier
to find. So we ended up having to like car shop, because my eldest is 10 years older than the youngest. So we had 2 car seats, and having a 3-passenger vehicle with 2 car seats is a lot harder than you would think, because they would just say, oh, if you need room in your trunk, just put the back seat down. I was like, yeah, I need a kid back there. Or if you need, you know, someone to get in the back seat, just put the second row down. And I'm like, again, I have people sitting there. Like, I'm not going to redo the car seats every single time my son needs to get in the car. Right. Like, that's just not practical. So we did find a vehicle that fit, but it was difficult. But the whole thing on, you know, that was us. That was me. That was what I did. Like, that is what I crafted for myself. That is a life that I allowed to happen to myself. And so when I talk about my awakening moment, I very much make it clear that was within my ability to change, which I just didn't. I just kind of fell asleep at the wheel and let life take it over. And then I got to one day and I was like, oh no, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. Why did I do this to myself?
I want to jump in because I hear what you're saying. I heard both of you say that it was like you did that to yourself. And in a way you did, based on your decisions to have kids, get married and have kids and all. But at the same time, you've heard that story about the frog in the pot of lukewarm water, and the water just gets hotter and hotter, and then the frog is cooked and didn't even know it. It actually kind of felt good and right. I think we get in that pot as well with life. And we decided to get married and have kids. And when you do that, certain things happen in your life that I don't think are avoidable. I don't think that you can have infant children, especially multiple small children, and prioritize yourself very well. Then you won't feel like a good mom, and you might not be a good mom if you're, I think there's a time in our lives with this family structure where you have to go into the dip for yourself and give more, and we have to then learn how to crawl out of the hole we dug. Like, you're right, so we have to get out of it, but I think we're supposed to be in it as moms. I just feel like that's kind of what is required of us. And then how long it takes us to get out of that when it's time for us to get out of that. Now that's the part where we need our sister girls to say, okay, girl, hun, your kid is 13. You can go out for mommy retreat now. Come on now. We can, just to pull each other out. Well, but I do think we all have, that's part of the role that's part of what we signed up for.
I agree with you, but I will say for my situation, like my kids didn't need to be in three different sports at three different times at the same time. And me going from having three different soccer practices on three different days and then golf on other days and then gymnastics on other days, all in the same time period. Right.
Were we friends then? Because I should have told you, girl, that's crazy.
I think you did tell me that was
okay,
crazy.
I was like,
I'm just letting you know. I actually think you did actually tell me that multiple times. Okay. But because you actually said, how do you do that? I've had coaches say, why do you do that? You know, it's so that was something that my husband and I we wanted to do for our kids. We wanted to do for our kids. But if you ask our kids, did they want to do all those things? I seriously doubt it. But those are the things that we turned up the pot, right? We turned up the pot more incrementally in terms of.
Yeah, you turn up the heat on yourselves. Mm-hmm. But I will, the other part I wanted to get at, and thank you, Ramel, for dropping that part in. When someone like me, who likes to simplify life a lot, looks at someone like you, then I would say, I'm not doing enough. Look at Ramel. Her kids are in everything. Mm-hmm. My kids are just in piano, or my kids are just in one thing each. And, you know, I can't up with that.
I was sitting there going, I wish I only had one thing like Twanda's kids. Trust me. I was not feeling great about that. I mean, and that's the part of it, is that I don't want to say judge each other, but we judge ourselves based on other people's lives. Yeah. And a lot of times what glitter isn't gold.
Yeah, you know, I look at people's highlight reels all the time. Even now, I'm going to give you an example, a real life example. I have been checking out Clubhouse.
Oh yeah.
And the Clubhouse social media platform that's out now, and I'll click on some bios. Maybe I'll go into something about business and entrepreneurship. Okay, so I know it's about business and entrepreneurship. So there will be entrepreneurs there, but everything I click on, people are doing the most. They've got 15 businesses. They've written 5 books. They're doing, and it sounds great. And I look at myself and go, oh, I'm not doing that much. Maybe I should do more. And I'm not the only one. So I'm giving that example because I know there are other people having the same experience saying, maybe I'm not doing enough. And I go through the ups and downs of maybe I should do more. And I'm doing fine just the way I am. So I go through that on a regular basis still.
I mean, I feel all of that. And what I've noticed is, so for Clubhouse, for me, I'm in this actual group called Clubhouse Daily, where they take notes. And someone put out there notes of business, especially business related rooms, so people don't feel compelled to be in every room. And someone put in a question in there saying, do you feel that you're missing out? And I said, no. I said, what's for me will be, I will get it whenever it comes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first couple of weeks, it's very exciting to be in Clubhouse all the time, listen to all the rooms and all the stuff and all the things. And I was just like, I got other things to do. So I will come in here. I will dedicate an hour to maybe two at most on any given day. Most days for me now, I don't even go on. I go on like twice a week. And then I try to calendar the things that I even do in there. And what I realized, so back to, you know, the multi-calendar, I've actually avoided doing all of that extra calendaring for my kids because I know I can be that mom and I'm very competitive. So I know if my kids are in all the sports and they're all doing competitive sports, I will be that mom who's like on the sideline yelling. I am that mom. And it was so hard. Like I had to stop going to my son's games because my son is not competitive at all. Like at all. Like
he can't even imagine.
He was such a sweetheart. Like we would play, he played soccer, different sports for like 4 or 5 years when he was younger. When he did karate, he never understood why someone would want to hit him. So, you know, taking the little bat and hitting him, he would just bust into giggles. He would just be like in a bunch of giggles. He's like, why would he do that? Like, mom,
this is your son, right? I'm just making sure I'm clear. Your kid. Yeah. Okay.
My kid. Mm-hmm. And then we would play soccer and he would be over in the corner picking flowers. There was one game in soccer he was really good at, and I think it was called like Shark or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is you have a ball and you're not supposed to let other people get it. And he was really good at it because he didn't like being people getting close to him. So he's really good at hiding behind other people,
like, that's so ball funny.
And dribbling it. But I'm like that person who gets in there. I was a tomboy for the first half of my life. Like I want to play to win and I don't like losing. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I can't put all these kids in these like competitive sports because I think I'm going to give myself a heart attack. Uh-huh. And my kids aren't going to like me very much. So my husband's much calmer. So he ended up taking him to like the football games. I was the worst coach's wife ever. Because I wouldn't show up to things and they're like, don't you want to show up? I was like, no, I'm gonna be yelling at your kids.
You don't want me there, right?
Not even a little bit. So I have moved that back, but my problem is I can be a workaholic when it comes to like working and child rearing. And so I missed the beginning of my son's life because I was working so much. So I drop him off, childcare, commute, and we would just spend a few minutes together. So I realized that I had to like kind of take that off the table for myself when we had my daughter, my first daughter. And so then I just threw myself into that because what else are you going to do? Like you're home and your job is to take care of them. So what ends up happening? They become you all the time.
Right. Exactly.
Your responsibility, you're taking them places, doing things. They went to school and childcare. I have a whole craft closet of crafts that we used to do. We used to, you know, come home and do all the stuff. And So for me, it was just like getting, I threw myself into motherhood. And part of the reason was, well, it was twofold. One, I wasn't working. And two, I just didn't have a great home life growing up. And I wanted to give my kids all the things I didn't get, like the attention, the love, the all of that.
So it sounds like you're co-signing, confirming some of what I said. We jump into it. And then we're supposed to be all into it. These little people need our help and we can do a good job at it.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I don't disagree with that at all either.
Yeah. At a certain point, then we realize, hey, we can stop doing that now. We can do less of it so that we can start to work ourselves back in the priority list.
I think that our kids definitely should be the priority. I think that's why we're moms, right? We're supposed to make them the priority. We're supposed to help raise them and be responsible, loving little people, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think anywhere in the contract does it mean that we should neglect ourselves in there. And I think that nobody really has that conversation. Nobody really tells you. And probably because our moms did the same thing for us.
Yeah. Who knows exactly how to have little kids and self-care time. Like I thought that was impossible. I was just like, no self-care until this little stage is over. I didn't figure out how to do it.
I didn't either, but
I'm not even sure it's possible, to be honest.
You know what, I think there's a level of it that is, and I think that as parents, especially if you're in a married or a committed relationship, I think there's ways that we can do it, but if you don't have a conversation about it, you can't. You're always going to just go with what you know. We all do things differently than what our parents did in terms of raising us. And I think that our kids have that opportunity when they raise their kids to do things a little differently. And I hope to maybe show them now, hey, taking care of mom is okay a little bit. I'm not going to neglect you most of the time. You know what I mean? I'm going to take care of you, but there's also, it's okay if mom has a little bit of time for herself too.
Well, I can say once the kids got a little bit older, I let them see us as parents, mom and dad, going out on dates and leaving them alone with a sitter, so that the parents could have a good relationship. Because if the parents don't have a good relationship, it's going to affect them quite negatively in the future. Right. So even though I prioritize the kids over myself, I usually would prioritize the marriage over the kids. I don't know how that sounds, but in terms of making sure that we're okay so that they're okay, in the same way that when the airplane starts to lose altitude, you cover yourself with a mask first and then the kids. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the idea behind keeping the marriage in good shape so that the family could be okay. Mm-hmm. So I did work that in even when they were little to make sure the marriage was okay. I didn't do as much for myself personally, just individual for me, but I did focus on making sure the marriage would be okay. And that sparks us to where we are now, looking at an empty nest part. My kids are now grown enough that my youngest is about to turn 18. And now I have to show them that I can have a life. They can live their life, but I'm still going to have a life as well.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break.